This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. You're going to find out all the aspects of hiking in our beautiful Pacific Northwest woods.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
Check us out over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's right, CascadeHikerPodcast.com. That's where you're going to find all the show notes and links right there.
Enigmatic like that of the cosmos. Never held your hand, but of course.
I want to thank Whiskey Fever for letting me use that awesome track there. That was Tall Grass off their album, Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. They're from Cedro Woolley. Go check them out. I'm your host, Rudy Getzik. I put this podcast together to inspire you to get out on the trail. Are you putting in 2-mile hikes, 5-mile hikes? Are you sitting on the couch? Have you even gone on a backpacking trip yet? I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. So without further ado, here is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Do you have a funny story on the trail?
Hiker humor is so dumb. Because it's always about the simplest things. It's funny. I laughed a lot on trail, but I'm having trouble like thinking of a funny thing. The only thing that comes to mind every time I think of this question is just like Moondog watching me poop, or like accidentally seeing me poop.
So somebody you were hiking with?
Yeah. I was hiking, and then, you're just kind of, when you have to pee, you just like go right next to the trail. It doesn't really matter. So, I was like in Northern California, in this just like weird flat forest, and like went to pee. And then I was like, oh God, like there's more to this story. But I like wasn't in a place to do that, but it just happened, and I just pooped, and then I like got up and I was like, well, like that happened. I guess I should like bury it or like move it or like what the hell. And then I like turned around, and there was this other hiker that I was with that was hiking behind me quite a ways back. But he was just like standing, 100 feet away with his back turned to me, just like very intently perusing his phone. And just, I like, like buried it really fast and then like ran away like into the woods. And we just never acknowledged that it happened. Like I saw him later that day and just like, but hi.
Hey.
But yeah, that's my like favorite, just like super awkward, funny story.
That is good. Well, and actually it kind of ties into, the whole, hiking alone as a woman on the trail. And, that's just kind of how hikers are in the hiking community.
Mm-hmm.
He saw you doing what you were doing. He turned around and
was such a gentleman. Yeah. And that, what's also funny is like, poop is like one of the main three things that you talk about. It's like miles and gear and pooping and eating, are like the things that you connect with people over. And so I like told that story later and was almost like, is this like just a lot of TMI? But then everyone thought it was really funny. So
that's good. Yeah. I was hiking. I did Chinook Pass to White Pass.
Okay.
And I could have probably done it in one day because it's such an easy section when you're going north to south. But I got like 20 miles and 30 miles done. I was like, oh, okay, I better whatever. So then the next morning I get up and I start hiking, and there's a guy on the side of the trail sitting on a log. And I was just like, hey, man, what's up? And I completely just started talking him up. Hey, where did you camp last night and everything? And then I realized that he has pants around his ankles.
Oh, yeah.
And he was kind of doing the sit on the log poop thing.
Oh.
And I was just like, Oh, hey. All right, man. Well, take care.
That's so great.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
We're a small enough organization that I ended up being able to hire my oldest, my youngest son as a crew lead one summer. He'd gone to Western or Washington State University for college. He majored in women and minored in partying, so I brought him back.
Yeah.
I said, at 1 year of that, you've got enough education in that. And he went to work for DNR, for fighting forest fires. And he did it for 3 years. 2 years he was crew lead, or engine crew lead. And he said, Dad, I'm tired of this. I can't get to the fires I want to, where they really make the money on the big fires. He says, I'm too low on the totem pole to get to those fires. They keep leaving me on this side of the state. I said, well, I can get you in the woods. He said, okay. And his thing was he judged the difficulty of trails by how many times people threw up on the trails, following him because he pushed them to keep going. So on Excelsior was his really big catch, because at least every day one person threw up trying to keep up with him. His big winner had 4 days in a row where one person at least threw up twice going up the trail to work on it. But his big day was when he had one guy throw up 3 times going up the trail. He said, Dad, I fed them big breakfast on purpose. They'd eat like all get up. And he said, then I'd take them up that trail and I'd push them. And I said, well, who threw up 3 times? Oh, Dave, my cousin.
That's good.
So that's how he measured how difficult the trail was, by how many times the crew threw up trying to keep up with him. And that's what 20-something years olds do for entertainment.
I guess.
On the trail. I like that.
And the rest of them started thinking it was a badge of courage. Now, I only threw up once. I threw up 3 times.
How about you? How many times did you throw up?
I never went. He ain't getting an old man up there and smoking me. No. He letting him set the standards, old men get hurt that way.
Yeah.
You know, old men, you got to set the standards, know what's coming up, and then you can smoke them. But you let them set the standards, you're getting...
Yeah, it's got to be
age,
well,
treachery,
out.
And deception will overcome youth skill and ability.
Okay, that's right.
Every time.
Right.
Yeah.
I was working some youngsters down in Southern California. They're in school to be, they were hotshot wannabes. We were out doing some small hazard trees, just teaching them how to face cut and a few things, and nothing too terribly dangerous. But so at the end of the day, and we are on this place where the road is up just over the ridge, and there's about probably 80-90% slope, and these guys put all their gear on, their backpacks, you know, all the fuel and the chainsaw, and they have a race to the top at the end of the day. And the old guy and I are going like, well, bless them, but we're going to walk out the trail and we drove up and picked him up. But yeah, no thanks.
Just for fun, huh?
Just for fun. And they've been working 8 hours. Not easy work.
I remember when I used to could do that.
Yeah.
No kidding.
I think I remember somebody else doing it. Maybe.
I used to think I could do that. Now I know I can.
The little people are great to have on crews, because you got the little people syndrome and the big people syndrome. Okay? You give the little person the biggest tool. Okay? You put them in the front. The big guy behind them, you give him a smaller tool. Okay? Then you go. That little person won't ever let that big person pass him. And the big person can't complain because the little person's carrying the heavier load. So you end up averaging much quicker time getting up the trail than if you switch it around.
You're not buying into that?
I was going to say, which one am I?
You're the big dude. You're the big guy syndrome, bud. Sorry about that. You're the big guy syndrome all over, man. Yeah, it's on your forehead. It's stamped. And it doesn't have to be much. You know, it can be... two grub hose broke down in their backpack, and the other guy's carrying a Pulaski. No, they got more of a load. Mm-hmm. They'll keep up.
Absolutely.
And all you got to do is pick up the stragglers as they throw up or fall out. You know, but the first two will never quit.
So that runs in your family.
Yeah. You can say, you know, say the apple didn't fall far from the tree on both my sons.
So where are you
going to go? So there are a couple small differences between the PCTA and the PNTA.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's just management. Don't worry about it. Everything else is the same. Yeah. Just management skills.
Yeah.
Techniques. Yeah, our volunteers are older, too.
You get all ages.
Yeah, we got a...
You guys got a nice spread. Yeah. Spread of ages.
Well, you know, I mean, it's delightful to see you youngsters. I call you youngsters. I hope you're not offended by that, but thrilled to see some young people involved in this, because...
I was trying to talk my daughter into coming to this.
Oh, yeah.
But there's not going to be any young women down there with you guys, are there? I should take a picture of you three and send it to her.
That'd be a little weird, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But you honed in on that, didn't you?
I was just joking about that.
The hitchhiking death story? Yeah. I told you about that.
Did you?
Thumbs up on that one.
I like that one.
Well, first of all, what's your name?
Alexandria, or my trail name is Rambo.
Okay. What kind of trail experience do you have? Where was this? Where did this happen?
This happened at Kearsarge Pass. So when you want to take a hitch to get into Independence, you gotta take a hitch down to get down to the post office, because that's all that's in Independence. And me and my friend, we get down to the campground, and we flagged down a van that was obviously dropping a hiker off and was heading back into town. And he was like, cool, yeah, you can hop in. And he was actually a jiu-jitsu instructor who was traveling here from Joshua Tree. He was making his way up north. And so there was a whole bunch of, like, gymnastic pads inside this, very specifically, VW bus. And we hop in, we start heading back into town, and about 5 minutes in, he starts getting all wiggly in the driver's seat, and I'm sitting on a cooler in between the two seats in the front. And I was like, what's up? Why are you acting so weird? And he just bluntly says, the brakes aren't working. And I'm sitting there, and I see the speed just going up. We're going about 70 miles per hour now, and I see the dreaded sign of, it's a little yellow sign that says the road's going to turn, that little arrow. It says, okay, the road's going to turn. This is where you have to slow down and turn the van. And at that point, you know, this is all a matter of, like, 10 seconds. We're, like, looking on both sides of the car, like, what can we crash the car into? Like, there's no brakes. We're looking at the jiu-jitsu. Should we jump out of the van? Should we grab these pads and just, like, book it outside? You know, your mind goes,
you have no seatbelt.
Yeah. No, I'm sitting on a cooler. And that's when I notice that it's a manual. And I yell at the driver. Thank God I know how to drive a stick shift. I yell at the driver to put the car into first gear right now, because he was sitting in neutral saying, my brakes aren't working, but I guess I forget that I drive a manual. And so he downshifted. And of course, when you're going 70 miles per hour and you downshift into first gear, it's going to make the car not good. But we coasted down right in front of the post office, and I jumped out of that car and just hugged the sidewalk and kissed it. And right across from the post office is a gas station.
Don't forget your growler and light over there. Thank you. Okay.
Right across from the post office is a Subway sandwich shop, and never did a sandwich taste so good.
No kidding. Well, the funny thing about that story is that, how old are you?
I'm 26.
And you know how to drive a stick.
I was 25 at the time. Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah.
Bonus points.
Yes.
It saved my life.
So, Eric,
really,
what's
good.
Your story?
Okay.
So you're Eric?
Yeah, I am. I'm Eric Lee. I've been section hiking for many years.
On the Pacific Crest Trail?
On the Pacific Crest Trail, yeah. 14 years now. So this You asked me earlier if there was a funny story, and this one was buried because it actually took place in 2003. It was a while ago. I was on my second annual section hike, hiking from Stevens Pass up to Stehekin. And I really wanted to meet some thru-hikers that year and was hoping to hike with them. I was northbound. But for 5 days, I didn't see anybody. I was just kind of in a bubble in between. And I knew that there were people ahead of me because I could see footprints, and I thought probably there's people behind me, but I was just hiking by myself, which was fine. It was great. But the very last night before I got into Stehekin, got down to the river there. I forget which one it is. It goes down to Highbridge, but found a nice camp there by the river and set up. And long about dusk, a group of four thru-hikers came along. And one of them was a girl in her 20s, and she stormed over to me, and the first thing out of her mouth was, "Lift up your foot and show me the sole of your boot." I'm like, "What?" "Hi, I'm glad to meet you. You know, my name's Eric. Just show me your foot." Okay. So I lifted up my foot and showed her, and she turned around to the other three and said, "Yep, he's the one we've been following for the past 5 days." Which made me pretty happy, actually.
Yeah, no kid. So they were right behind you, probably.
They were. They were pretty close behind me, yeah. And then the story continues, because later that night we set up camp. And all crawled into our tents, and it's dark, and everyone's, you know, shifting and shuffling and getting settled down, and it goes quiet. And then about 5 minutes later, the same girl, she starts shrieking like something is trying to kill her. And she's shrieking just incoherently. We're all yelling at her, you know, "What? What's going on? What's wrong? What's wrong?" She says, "A moose! There's a moose in our tents!"
In the tent.
And everyone just pauses. Because we're not that far away. We're pretty close to each other. And we're like, "A moose?" She says, "Yes, a moose." And we said, "Oh, wait, she's from Canada. Did you mean a mouse?" She said, "Yes, that's what I meant, a moose."
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, that's funny. So we liked that one. That was we all had a good laugh about that.
So the people that she was hiking with, they didn't even know what she was talking about.
No. They couldn't
that's
figure it
funny.
Out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow. She was really hiking home.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, that was a great group of people. That was the first time I really got folded into a community of the thru-hikers. There was one guy who was an older gentleman from Appalachia somewhere, and he was just like this stereotypical skinny leather brown farmer guy with a, you know, huge drawl, but just so open and friendly. And all four of them brought me into their little trail family. And I only hiked with them. I mean, we camped with them that night, hiked in a Stehekin the next morning, went to the bakery, you know, did all that stuff. But I was ending there. So I was with them for less than 24 hours. But this guy, Cliffhanger, the farmer, he got my email. And he emailed me occasionally over the next couple years. I went down to Adzipisiko. 2 years after that, and I ran into him there. He saw me, and he saw me across the parking lot, and he's like, "Eric," and he comes over, gives me a big hug, you know. He actually still, we still exchange emails occasionally.
Wow.
It's like,
that's great.
14 years later now. And that was the first time when I realized, oh, it's not just the mountains and the wilderness, like I was telling you earlier.
Yeah.
It's the people as well.
Oh, that's cool. Definitely.
Yeah, just so amazing to meet people out there every year.
Well, I really like the story you're talking about too. How once you got down a little further, how the climate changed as far as the way people were reacting towards.
Right. I was telling Rudy earlier that when I was hiking up here in Washington, I kept running into the thru-hikers, and they were all, you know, super trail hardened because they'd hiked like, you know, 2,400 miles or whatever. And then And I was just new at that time because I live here in Seattle. I was section hiking in Washington. And so they were very gracious to not treat me like a total newbie. But I knew I was a newbie, and I kept looking up to them like, whoa, I can't believe that, you know, you guys would even deign to talk to me. But as I have done my sections working my way further south, it's been an interesting role reversal because I've been getting more miles under my belt. I'm very experienced now. I don't go out for, you know, 5 months at a time, but I've been doing this for a long time. I'm very comfortable on the trail. But now I'm hiking with people, the through hikers, who have less than 1,000 miles, and I can tell them, oh, I've got like, you know, 1,800. And so they look at me and go, whoa, you've hiked the whole rest of the trail north of here all the way up to Canada. That's amazing.
And so it's a complete role reversal.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. Yeah, so I'm enjoying kind of being the old hand now, and that'll get to be even more pronounced as I go into Southern California.
So. Yeah, I wish had met hikers like you when I was in Southern California, like, you know, with the world's heaviest pack on, like, I'm ready.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you need someone to do a shakedown for you. But, yeah, when I was hiking here in Washington and trying to explain to people what I was doing and trying to like earn a little bit of cred, I guess, in my own mind, I would tell people
in your infancy.
Yeah, in my infancy, but I would tell them, okay, do you remember your first week on the trail? And they're like, oh, that sucked. I said, okay, here's what you got to understand. For me, it's like that every year.
Yeah.
Every section hike is my first week, and they're like,
I didn't think about that.
That's incredible. I can't believe you're doing this.
That is so hard. The first week.
Ooh, yeah. First week is tough.
It's so tough.
But I've gotten better at training.
The mental.
Yeah.
Well, and you're stretching out further now, right?
I am.
What's your name?
Alan.
Alan?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Mukilteo.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Yeah, a local guy.
Nice.
Spend a lot of time out here on the mountain loop.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it out here.
I was hiking to the Cutthroat Lakes.
Oh, yeah. Walt Bailey Trail?
Yeah. I went out to Walt Bailey, and I got out to the Cutthroat Lakes, spent the night. I'm looking at the map, and I planned it before I left home that my son dropped me off, and he was going to pick me up at Ashland Lakes Trailhead.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think I know where this is going, yeah.
I went around Bald Mountain.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been there, yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Recently?
Well.
Well, I was there about 10 years after they closed the trail or quit maintaining the trail. It was the first quarter mile, you know, after that side trail goes up to the peak. After that, it just went to hell in a hurry, you know, but I was into it. You know, I was like, well, God, my son's going to pick me up there. How am I going to get there, you know? So I kept going, and I should have turned around. And I'm going through, and nobody's been on this trail in a long time. And there's just nothing but blueberries. It's September.
So there was food.
Oh, there's bear skin. Yeah, I was the food. Dessert was everywhere. Because there's scat, steaming scat everywhere.
Oh, no.
And now I'm really getting nervous. And there's, if you've been on the trail, there's that one place where you have to kind of do this. And you got a little ledge, you know, and I have my big old backpack on, and I'm doing this. And I get to the other side, and I was just exhausted because I hate heights. And you're looking straight down, you know. And I get the other side, and it's just exhausted. So I took off my pack, and I leaned it on the hillside, and I sat down, and also my pack.
Oh, no.
And
how far of a drop was it?
It was about 15 feet, and a tree stopped it. And I was so lucky. So I had a strap, and I lower myself down, tie it to the pack, and I crawl back up and then drag it up.
Really?
Okay, so I go further down, and I'm on another one of these little...
Another ledge.
Ledge, yeah. You know, and I get about halfway across, and there's a plaque, you know, a brass plaque, maybe you saw it. It says, in memory of...
Oh, no!
Oh, no.
I'm exhausted. It's getting dark, and I'm in bear country, and I'm trying to...
You're on a ledge.
Oh, man, it was horrible. No trail markers, nothing.
Were you on the trail?
Well, I think so. Yeah, it's a trail that's not kept up anymore.
No, yeah.
But it's still in the older book, so you probably had an older book.
Yeah, the map said it. But then when I got home, I started reading more in depth about it, and I found out it wasn't maintained. No. You know?
I remember my dad and my sister took that trail. I've never been on that portion of the trail, but they took that trail, must have been about 22 years ago, and they had a tough time finding it.
I could tell you, this is not a funny story, but it's just a story, how I used to have family bragging rights because I hiked 85 miles in just 16 days with the Boy Scouts. And then my son thru-hiked the Pacific Crest Trail, and I no longer had any bragging rights in the family.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, it's funny because we're up here doing the Pacific Crest Trail Association's putting on this big event. And, you know, we're all doing work and stuff, but you do something outside of that, and it's the Trail Angel thing.
Right.
Where's that at?
Tacoma Pass.
What do you do?
Well, I go up the day after Labor Day, because normally that's when the crowds are coming through Washington. Last year they arrived in August. But still, hikers are coming through for sure. I camp for as long as my food and supplies last. Used to be 14 days. I planned for 2 weeks, but now the same amount of supplies are gone in about 8 days because so many more hikers are coming.
Do you count them?
I have them sign a register. And if they sign the register, then I get a count afterwards. Yeah. So I had 172 hikers in 8 days last year.
Wow. And they're all coming up from Mexico? Most of them.
Most of them, but it's I welcome anyone who comes by.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So
that's fun.
I really enjoy it. It's an outing for me. You know, I camp in my little trailer in the woods for all that time. And
it's a cool trailer.
Yeah, and I've actually made an outhouse. That's my addition for last year.
Oh, nice.
A platform with a toilet seat and a privacy hut type thing. That
for everybody?
Up. Yeah, for the hikers.
Can I use it?
If you come to Tacoma Pass right after Labor Day, yeah.
Yeah. What do you serve?
Mainly hot dogs and then all kinds of treats. I used to do chili dogs, but that meant a lot of washing pans and the making the chili. And it's a dry camp. I have to hike the same half mile as the hikers to get to water. So I cut that out and just do something that doesn't require so much water.
That makes sense, yeah.
But the sweets go fast, and other things last longer.
Well, hey, thanks for talking to me at the men's room here.
That I'm could be our funny story.
Yeah, I'm glad that you had to use the bathroom.
Hey, something really easy to do. If you shop at REI, you can click right through my site. It gives a little kickback to me. And helps the show out, gets the show a little credit there. You get all the same prices that REI offers, but I get a little kickback. So thanks a lot. We also do the Amazon. If you shop at Amazon and you want to click through the website, same thing. You get all the same deals. Click through. Just go to the show notes, check that out. Hey, thanks a lot for supporting the show. All right, what's your name?
Jay.
All right, what you got? Well, you got a sign? You say you got a sign you want to put on a trail?
My thought for the day is, today life's not going to pass you by, so just make sure you take it in. That's all I got for now.
That's good. Cool. Thanks, Jay. So this is Jay again. We're here at High Bridge Camp doing some PCTA work.
Yeah, he was saying, yeah.
And my PCT story from last summer's hike, most memorable, was we were doing a section through the Goat Rocks, dropped the car off south of the Goat Rocks, and then we drove the car up to White Pass to start out. Started hiking southbound, went through the Goat Rocks, and at the summit there on Old Snowy, two guys were coming up, going northbound and passing us, and first guy looked like he was just going to drop dead, and then I look as he goes by, and he's carrying two packs. And then I realized the guy behind him, who ended up being his father-in-law, had no pack on, and he was ready to drop. And as they went by, I kind of turned around, and the older gentleman fell down the trail, was laying there, and I'm trying to decide if he's dying or taking a break. And finally he moved around, so I realized he wasn't dead. And so they went on their way, and we went southbound. And a couple days later, we got down to our car and headed back up north to get our other car. So we pull into the parking area at White Pass, and them two guys just happened to be sitting there. And what's the funny part was is the car that we were drove in is a little Scion two-seater. No, barely room for two people. Oh, and these guys are joking to each other that maybe we'll give them a ride. And so as we pull in and they realize we got two cars there, they informed us that they were at White Pass and they realized they screwed up and parked their car at Chinook Pass.
Oh, man.
Another 30 miles and no food and no time. And they're out of Portland. And so I guess lucky for them, I decided we were heading back up 410, so I drove them up to Chinook and dropped them off their car, and so they were so excited to get to their car and go to unlock it, and they left the dome light on, and the battery was dead. And I had no jumper cables, and I'm like, okay, you guys, I got you here. You're on your own. And said our goodbyes. So wow. Hopefully they made it back to Portland.
They had a rough trip.
Yes, they did.
That's good. Thanks, Jay. What's your name?
Amber Catron.
All right, we're sitting up here at... what is this, High Bridge?
Yep.
Just off the PCT, doing some PCTA work out here. So you got a good story?
Yes, I do. I have the story of Bad Luck Benjamin.
Okay.
So.
I can only imagine.
Right. So me and my husband were hiking the PCT about 3 years ago. So it'd be 2012, one of those 2 years. We had started from the Oregon-Washington border and headed up north. At a certain point, realized that we weren't going to make it through the Goat Rocks that year. We had to leave early because we had to get done in time for me to go to school at WSU, which starts about mid-August. So we had to get to Canada by the middle of August, which is usually around when most people are getting to Washington. So because of the snow problem, we got off the trail at Trout Lake, ended up hitching up to White Pass with a very interesting older couple, and had several extra days in White Pass that would have normally been spent going through the Goat Rocks. So we decided to spend one of those days going to a nearby town called Packwood that has a number of little shops and stuff, and just seemed like a good little getaway, you know, get off the trail, go have some fun. So we go down there. Now, as we're pulling into town, we see this guy walking around with an old army pack on and some, like, really beat-up gear and stuff. You know, he looked like a homeless person, you know, except for kind of out of place because Packwood
like
is this...
Yeah, like some hikers, right?
Yeah, right? But very out of place because Packwood is a little mountain town, so, you know, there's not a large homeless population there at all. In fact, I'm not sure, you know, if there are any that would be up there.
It's pretty remote, yeah.
Yeah, so here's this guy, you know, looking like this homeless guy, you know, but don't think much of him, and get off, go do a few things, and end up in a sporting goods store. And I stayed outside with the packs because we didn't want to lug them around inside of this really small little sporting goods store. And my husband goes in, and along comes the homeless guy, right? You know, and he sets down his pack and stuff, and he starts talking to me about how he was trying to hike to the PCT. And on the way there, he had the soles of his shoes fall off, and so he had been taping them on. But he really needed a pair of new shoes, and he had been hiking to the PCT but turned around because the snow got too bad for him too. He had been doing this south of into the area that we had been going, so he was trying to get into the Goat Rocks, but the soles of his shoes had fallen off. There was too much snow, and he was sitting here talking to me and telling me how he'd run out of fuel for his fuel canister, so he couldn't cook food anymore because he'd been making quinoa.
So he had a lot of problems.
All of this stuff, right? So my husband comes out. I go in to go look at whatever I want to look at in the store, and the guy goes in to go buy a pair of shoes. no big deal, you know, I get done doing what I'm doing, leave before he does. We'd go back to somewhere along the highway and hitch back to White Pass. So we get back on the trail after finally having our packages get there, because, of course, you know, they had to be shipped and arrived to the station there at the time that we were supposed to get there. Finally get on the trail. We get a couple miles in, and there sitting next to the trail is Benjamin with his bug net, it was almost like bug screen. It wasn't like a bug net hat or a bug net sweater. It was just like a screen. Yeah, it was like a blanket, like a bug net blanket. And he's sitting there looking at a map and looking left at it, to his left at this this meadow, and saying, "Do you think that's such and such lake? You know, I it's really hard for me to tell. I'm not really sure what that is. You know, et cetera, et cetera." And we're looking at it and it's like, "No, I'm pretty sure that's farther up." And we don't quite have the heart to tell him that he's not nearly as far as he thinks that he is. You know, it was really only a couple miles in, and he was already to the point of sitting down and snuggling up for the night, you know. Wow. But he's hoping that he got there. So it's like, okay, you know, like, I don't think that you're quite where you are. And he shows us these boots that he had bought, the new boots that he had bought at the sporting goods store, and the soles had fallen off of them.
Oh, no.
And he was taping the soles back on, and he had paid $50 for these boots. You know, the store didn't sell hiking boots, but they had been an old pair that the guy had found, you know, in the closet somewhere. They probably hadn't been looked at in the last 30 years, and, you know, he had bought these new boots, and the soles had fallen off in a day.
Oh, no.
And it was like, okay, you know, like, I'm sorry, I really hope that, you know, you have better luck. You know, I really think that lake's, you know, a little bit further up. You know, like, have a good trip. Leave him there. Give him a fuel canister, because, of course, you know, we wanted to be nice. We had already given him one of our meals because we had an extra one, and we didn't want him to be eating quinoa every night. We gave him a fuel canister because we had an extra one, because we had planned to have a little bit of extra, and we go on our merry way. So we get to where we were planning to camp and set up camp, wake up the next morning, head out. We're, you know, maybe 30 minutes into the day and run into him again. You know, he's getting water out of the stream, and so we say, "Oh, hi, Benjamin," you know, because at this point, you know, we know his name.
Pretty well by now, yeah.
Practically to the point of calling him Bad Luck Benjamin at this point. And so we say, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, and he's like, "Oh, my water filter just broke, and, you know, I'm not sure how to, you know, what I'm gonna do now. I guess I'll have to start boiling my water, you know." And last night I was sleeping, and because it was early in the year, the mosquitoes were out in full force. Like, that area was terrible. You could, you know, like, brush them off your arm, and you know,
a lot of lakes in that area.
Tons of lakes, tons of mosquitoes, just absolutely awful. And so he's telling us about how the night before he'd gotten into his bivy sack, and the bivy sack had gotten ripped, and the mosquitoes were going in all night. So the whole night he was trying to keep the bivy sack closed, and now his water filter broke, and his shoes are falling off, and all these things. And it's just like, and, you know, like, there was just nothing we could do, you know. So it's like, you know, I think that at that point, you know, we gave him some water then, you know, because so that, you know, to help him out once again, you know, hoping that he doesn't die and continue on our hike. And so didn't see him again after that. But the joke after that was, you know, that, you know, we just hoped that he wasn't dead, you know, like, hopefully Benjamin's not dead. Hopefully he just got off the trail. Hopefully, you know, he figured out some way to do the trip without having all this stuff. But this, and this whole thing was in the course of about 3 days, you know.
That's crazy. Good story. It's kind of like Bill. Kind of like Bill lost the shoes. Retired the shoes.
Yeah, everything and everybody has to retire.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to the show. Go on back to CascadeHikerPodcast.com and, you know, leave me a comment. Tell me what you thought. That's how I know everything's going good, or maybe some things are going bad. But maybe you have some ideas there. And if you have some more questions for any of our guests, leave a comment under their episode, and maybe we can get them back on and answer some quick questions there. You can send me an email if you don't want to leave a comment. It's ibighiker@gmail, ibighiker@gmail. Give my Facebook page a like, North Cascade Hiker. Follow me on Twitter, @N_CapitalCascadeCapitalHiking. That's @N_CascadeHiking. I try to give you guys multiple ways to get a hold of me. Give me some comments on the show and maybe some ideas for some guests. Thanks again for listening to the show. Here's a little bit more of that Whiskey Fever track, Tall Grass.
You were sweet like honey on a heartbeat. You were fine like wine in the sunshine. I could feel you coming on strong. Could never be wrong, could never be wrong. See her laying down in the tall grass, playing mandolin in a white dress. So come running when I hear that song. It could never be wrong, it could never be wrong. Where you wanna run, maybe I'll run too. I would be